2 weeks ago, we told you about a report by a citizen watchdog group recommending ways to reduce Michigan's prison population. CAPS, the Citizens Alliance on Prisons and Public Spending, has outlined a plan to reduce Michigan's inmate profile by 10,000 people. Among other things, the plan calls for reforms to minimum sentencing and parole. Michigan prosecutors are offering their own report. The Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan is studying the actual makeup of the state's prison population. It says the majority of felons are locked up for the most serious crimes. Our guest today represents that group. David Layton is the Genesee County prosecutor, whose jurisdiction includes the city of Flint. Mr. Layton, welcome to Current State, sir.
Well, thank you, Mark. Good morning.
Why did the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan conduct this report?
Well, in light of the current situation and the various groups saying we need to let people out of prison in order to save money in the general fund appropriation, we thought it best to dispel certain misconceptions out there by figuring out just who is in our prisons. Before anybody can come forward and say, well, let's let 10,000 people out of prison, let's first find out who's actually in prison. So that's really the basis of why we conducted this study, because as you correctly suggest, more than 70% of the people in Michigan prisons currently are there for what we designate as assault of crimes, that is, crimes of violence, crimes like homicide and sexual assault and armed robbery, the most serious crimes that we have on our books, crimes against other human beings. So it isn't like where you've got a prison population full of pot smokers. That's just not the case.
Well, is that an argument then to maintain or possibly even increase budgeting? Because, I mean, the dollar cost of this thing is extraordinary, more than $2 billion a year, as I recall. How does that figure into this larger debate over corrections reform?
Well, you're right. 20%, I think it is, of the state's general appropriation, the general fund, if you will, goes to the line item Department of Corrections. And there is definitely concern that that's a big number. Now, on the other hand, the prison population has decreased over the past number of years. The problem with that is the spending of the Department of Corrections has remained the same. It hasn't gone down any.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in our report, you'll see that, like, for example, one of the biggest issues is the health care costs of inmates. Michigan spends somewhere in the neighborhood of $7,000-$8,000, I think the report shows, per prisoner. And you can, when we did a comparison with all of the other Midwest states, and for example, Illinois, which has Chicago in it, obviously, is spending only something like $3,000 per prison inmate. So the prosecutors are essentially saying, you know, let's look at some other areas. Letting people out of prison, especially assault of criminals, is probably not the best answer. Let's look at some other answers to reduce spending.
Are you concerned about the a lot of the suggestions that you're hearing toward corrections reform?
Yeah, I think we are. We are concerned. That's why we're weighing in. The Prosecuting Attorneys Association is a very active association. It's member-driven. Our president, Vic Fitz, has been concerned about this. The immediate past president, Kim Worthy, of Wayne County, is concerned. So, you know, you take Mr. Fitz from Cass County and Ms. Worthy from Wayne County, and you have the opposite ends of the spectrum. You have an urban county and a rural county, and yet we're both concerned with the same issue. And the bottom line is, let's find out who's in prison. Let's be very careful about reducing the saying we're going to reduce spending by letting people out, because the history shows we're not really saving money by letting people out. Let's look at other potential cost-cutting ways to make this happen.
This seems to be a cautionary tone to this report. You're saying As you go about this, be careful not to do this. Do you make particular recommendations in the report as to what can be done, what should be done?
Well, actually, we don't, and I think that's in part because we look at ourselves as an advisory group to the legislature. It's the governor and the legislature that has to ultimately make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be at the table with them when these decisions are made. And we thought that we could offer this information so that they would appreciate where we're at and accept this. We've passed this report out to all the members of the House and the Senate and the governor, obviously. The governor's been a very good partner to us. We have something called the Secured Cities Initiative, which was an appropriation that allowed for state police to patrol Detroit, Flint, Saginaw, extra prosecutors to be hired in those same cities. So the governor has expressed an interest. He's recognized the problem and expressed the interest in helping cure the high violent crime rate in the state of Michigan. So he recognizes it. Our bottom line is we want to be a partner. We want to help. And here's some areas where we think you ought to look at.
We're talking with Genesee County Prosecutor David Layton. He's a member of the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan, which has published a report on the state's prison system with emphasis on violent crime offenders. Your report points out that Michigan's initial rate of incarceration, and that means that that refers to the percentage of the times that first-time felons are actually sent to prison, and your report points out that among those first-time felons, only 10% are sent to prison. That is well below the national average, which is around 40%. What about that other 90%? Are you suggesting more first-time felons should be sent to prison as opposed to community service programs, that kind of thing?
No, not necessarily. I think the Council of State Governments, which came into to our state on a couple of different occasions over the last 5 years, has issued some reports showing that Michigan keeps its prisoners in prison longer than other states. This helps explain why that happens. Our initial incarceration rate is only 10%. And that's because our sentencing guidelines, which judges must follow in every instance, only allows for those folks to be imprisoned only 10%. So that means that 90% of the convicted felons, and some of those are convicted of violent felonies, go on probation or into some kind of a diversion program or a community service program. What happens to the 10% though what happens to the 90% that don't go in, if they repeat offend and they eventually get sent to prison, they're ultimately kept for a longer period of time, which explains why the Council of State Governments found that Michigan prisoners stay longer. It's up to the parole board whether they go past their minimum sentence. Many times the parole board keeps them and therefore they stay longer.
It's interesting, though, that 10% figure being below the national average by quite a bit. That would seem to go against the thrust of a lot of this debate, which seems focused on being more judicious when we can. But you're saying we could be more judicious on the as far as releasing people after they've served time?
I think we're saying that. Most prosecutors would like to see that 10% number higher. We think that if that 10% number were higher, in other words, you're incarcerated for a minimum period upon your initial conviction, chances are the lengthy stay and the repeat offender numbers would go down.
Mm. Okay. In 1998, Michigan enacted truth in sentencing laws, which eliminated a prison credits system. There was no more time off for good behavior. Now, felons serve every day of at least a minimum sentence. How is that relevant in this reform discussion?
Well, you're correct about that we passed that. Truth in sentencing is the number one priority to protect for Michigan prosecutors. That's all about victims. Here's what happened before Truth in Sentencing, Mark. A victim, let's just by example say of a sexual assault, might have it got their courage up, come to court, testified, been through all this terrible trauma on top of being the victim of the sexual assault, and then came to court to hear that the defendant would be sentenced to 5 years in prison, let's say. And then, 3 years later, the same sexual assault victim could be walking down the aisle in a grocery store, and there comes her perpetrator, the same very person who she thought, or he thought, if it's a male victim, that person would be locked up for 5 years. But here, 3 years later, they're out. Before Truth in Sentencing, that was a very real possibility and an extra trauma put upon the victim. Since Truth in Sentencing, that cannot happen, because Truth in Sentencing means that when that minimum sentence is handed down by the judge and the judge says 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, defendant serves every single day of that sentence. We feel that that is the most important cornerstone of the criminal justice system in our state, and that victims should not be re-victimized by a change to the Truth in Sentencing law.
Mr. Layton, this CAPS report got an awful lot of publicity. It believes that it has a plan to reduce the prison population by 10,000 inmates and not jeopardize public safety. How familiar are you with their recommendations? What do you make of them, if you are familiar?
Well, I haven't had a chance to read that report, so I have to say I'm not overly familiar with it. But I think that what we need to do is we need to make sure we're identifying who those 10,000 are, because we now know from our report that 70-plus percent of the folks locked up are in there for assault of crimes.
You've showed your report to lawmakers. What type of support are you picking up, or opposition?
Well, we're picking up a lot of support. The Attorney General certainly is supportive of us and has been a great partner in our criminal justice emphasis. We have support from, just throwing out one name, is Speaker Pro Tem Tom Leonard, who is a former assistant prosecutor in my office and certainly understands all of these issues. So we're getting quite a bit of support across the board. And really, as I say, Mark, what we're really trying to do is put out information, as opposed to actually saying, you know, let's do A, B, C, and D. We feel the first step in all this is let's know what we're really dealing with. Mm-hmm. Let's have really good information at our fingertips before we make any decisions.
We've got less than a minute, but I've got to ask you about this new commission, the Criminal Justice Policy Commission. They're just getting started here. And Barbara Levine of CAPS is a member. Another member is DJ Hilson, the Muskegon County prosecutor. Are you or your peers working with him to express your concerns?
Oh, absolutely. DJ's on our board of directors. He does an outstanding job in Muskegon County. He will represent the prosecuting attorneys very, very well. He'll be a distinguished member of that group. And we're supportive of the formation of that group, and we think it'll help.
David Layton is the prosecuting attorney for Genesee County, and we've been talking about the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan's latest report here involving corrections reform and a kind of a cautionary tone to a lot of what is in that report. Mr. Layton, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me on.